heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will, ready to do your will, ready to do your will.
That song reminded me of some verses just before a section of scripture that I'll read a little bit later on, from Hebrews chapter 12, the very beginning, or the middle, actually, section. It says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy, for without holiness no one will see the Lord." We'll talk a little bit more about holiness this morning. Last week, if you weren't able to be with us, we talked about Christ-honoring communication and the reality that in the midst of anxieties in our world, and there were just a few things that happened this week, that you have no control over anyone else except yourself. And sometimes we can barely control ourselves, even though self-control is one of those strong fruits of the Spirit. And that was the challenge, that in all of our conversation and in all of our communication, we would choose to do things that honor Christ, most specifically through the words that we choose to use or the words that we type with our thumbs. One of the things that we take for granted is that we can approach God, that we can draw near to God. And the thing with drawing near to God is that that is the way that we become more holy, because God makes us holy. It's not something that we can do on our own. The scripture says, make every effort, but on our own we can do nothing. And the reason God makes us, can make us holy, is that he is perfectly and fully holy, and we are not. And the holy and unholy, we could say, are like oil and water. It's hard. How do you combine two things that are fundamentally opposed? And this is the challenge for us as humans, especially with our hearts, which often lead us in good ways, but sometimes also betray us and lead us in not good ways. We take it for granted that we can approach God. So it's amazing then that the Lord actually wants us to come to him. He wants us to draw near to him willingly so that he can develop this relationship with us. This is something that was not always certain, especially in the Old Testament. Approaching God was never considered easy. In fact, it was something that people were afraid of doing. They were afraid that, when we still use these terms today, that God would smite me if I got too close. How do two things that are fundamentally different come together? Now, for the Israelites, and we've been looking at some stories of their first formation. In the Christian church, we talk a lot about Christian formation, being formed in the nature of Christ. Well, in the Old Testament, that's what God was doing for his people, forming them into a new people. And all that God was doing was completely new for them. As I said in the last couple of weeks, this was a group of people that had been slaves for 400 years under the thumb of Pharaoh. That mentality of not being free was part of who they were at this point. And God was teaching them that there was indeed something new that he was doing and shaping within them. He was holy and pure. And there needed to be a way to bridge that gap between God and his people. A perfect God and his imperfect people. So if you have a Bible with you, we're going to continue in the book of Exodus, and then a little bit later I'll refer to Hebrews chapter 12 as well. Let's look at how God was continuing to shape this group of individuals to become an actual people, a united or mostly united group, as united as they possibly could be. And as they grow in their relationship to God, we actually can learn some things about them and apply it to our lives. We actually get some reminders that I hope will encourage your connection to God today. In Exodus chapter 19, we have been following the Israelites as they've been led through some initial wanderings in the desert, and they've been at several different places. And their pattern up to this point was they go in the desert for a little bit, and then what happens? They start to complain because, where's our food? Like a parent and a child saying, but mom, what's for dinner? Are we there yet? All those types of things. Where's our water? Where's my latte? Where's my fruit juice? Whatever the case may be. So this has been their pattern. And then God provides for them, and they hopefully start to learn their lesson, although we saw multiple times already that they haven't really learned. They're learning in little bits, just like we do when we're children. In chapter 19, after being rescued out of Egypt, they travel in the wilderness, and God leads them to Mount Sinai. And at that place, they are going to experience his presence like never before. Up to this point, they have seen some amazing things. They've been led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and now they're going to experience something that will put all of that to shame and make it seem even small in comparison. The Lord reminds them of what he has done, and he establishes the fundamental type of relationship they will have. So I want to read the opening verses of chapter 19, verses 1 through 11. It says this. Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. After breaking camp at Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and set up camp there at the base of Mount Sinai. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel." Verse 4, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." Kind of a pipe dream. Famous last words, yeah. "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will come to you in a thick cloud, Moses, so the people themselves can hear me when I speak with you. Then they will always trust you." Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Then the Lord told Moses, "Go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day, for on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch." If you obey, If you follow me and listen to what I am saying, then you will be my treasured possession, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. He gives instructions to Moses that the people are to consecrate themselves. Consecrate is just a fancy word to say to be made holy, or to be set apart, to be made ready or sacred. And at the appropriate time, God will reveal himself to them. And if they follow through on all that God has said, the cool thing is that the whole world will benefit from this. Unfortunately, we know that it doesn't completely work out that way. And while Mount Sinai was certainly a unique event, we too can experience God's presence today if we are ready to listen and obey him. For you, if God's voice has seemed silent or unclear recently, turn once again to him, even if you don't think it's going to do anything. There are always things that we can do, there are attitudes we can focus on, and there are other people around us to help us when we aren't feeling it. Because God is more than just a feeling. One of the first things that I see in this initial back and forth between Moses and God is something that I think we can all continue to do as well. It's an action that is complex and easy at the same time. Prepare to meet God. When you came in these doors this morning, when you woke up out of your bed and you came here, did you expect to meet God? Were you prepared for him to meet you in this place? I'll be honest, sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not, and I would imagine for many of you it can be similar. When we prepare to meet God, God actually helps us in this. He sets out some boundaries. He gives some instructions and conditions for them because he's helping his people to get ready, to be prepared for what they will experience. And he gives this list of boundaries that they set and what's going to happen if they cross the boundaries. He's laying it out just like you would with a child. These are the rules and these are the consequences. If you follow the rules, all of this will happen. If you don't follow the rules, all of this will happen. He's getting them physically and spiritually prepared to meet the holy presence of the Lord directly. In our day, and for us in this era, it makes us think about how we prepare ourselves to meet God. In many ways, we're pretty casual. We're in a much more casual society. That's why I said we take it for granted that we can approach the Lord directly. How are we preparing to meet God? What is keeping you apart or feeling far away from God? You know as well as I do that there are a lot of things in our lives that keep us distant or distracted in those places where we're unable to hear the Lord or feel his presence. And we pray and pray and we hope for an answer, but sometimes we want to approach and experience God without any of that internal change that needs to take place. Just as the word in Hebrews said, without holiness, no one can see the Lord. Often it's because we don't like to submit to his way and his will. And like Adam and Eve in the garden, what God desires most, even if we are running away, is for us to stop and turn and come back to him. What does he ask Adam and Eve in the garden? When they know that they've sinned and then they try to hide from him, he says, where are you? He wants them to come back. He's willing to extend his grace even then at the very first sin in the history of creation. God wants us to come close to him as well. But often we run away too. Or we try to hide. Or we try to hide our dirt. We try to hide as if God doesn't already know everything and doesn't know us perfectly, and especially what's going on in our lives. How are you preparing to meet God in this season of your life? Does something need to be removed or adjusted for you to encounter God's presence? For the people of Israel at this time, God set up those boundaries because he knew that there were some things that were keeping them apart from him. We've talked before that in the Old Testament especially, a lot of the law is all about cleanliness and uncleanliness. And we know that a lot of that has nothing to do with dirty clothes anymore, but about preparing ourselves to be in the presence of the Holy God. For the Israelites, it wasn't just dirty clothes, but they also had to keep their distance. They had to remove the things that were distracting them in their lives so that they could experience the full weight and magnitude of God's presence. What's keeping you distant or distracted? At the best of life, I know that there's lots of things that we can enjoy. And God designed us that way. He designed us to experience joy and pleasure and experience the good things of life. But like all good things, too much of good things can also become distractions. Those things can actually consume our attention and our time and our energy, and they keep us distracted. And in honesty, the devil doesn't have to work very hard most of the time. We get distracted enough on our own. It's like we have collective ADHD of the heart. There's nothing inherently wrong with a lot of things in life. God wants us to experience them. But he also knows that your relationship with him is the highest and lasting joy, the only joy that will not fade. All other joy and pleasure will fade over time. So he tells his people, prepare to meet me. Be aware that you are in the presence of the Most High God, the one who is holy. We are so far from Old Testament times that I think sometimes we've lost the gravity of that and the honor and privilege it is to be able to be in the presence of God and to approach him freely. It's amazing. Our sisters and brothers at that time would have never thought like this. They would have been so scared to come to the Lord. God helped his people to understand what a privilege it is. So I want to draw one attitude that I think will help us be on the right track. If you are struggling to feel God or hear from him, I encourage you to draw near with holy awe. That's probably the best description or definition that I've ever heard about fear of the Lord or reverence. A healthy fear of the Lord is one that approaches God with holy awe. That it's both holy, it's both something outside of ourselves, and it's something that should be awe-inspiring for us. A healthy fear and reverence toward the Lord. Now, it's true that we are much less formal than people used to be. Back in the day, if I didn't show up in a suit, people would have thought I was a heretic. I'm thankful for jeans nowadays. But the attitude of reverence towards God still remains the same. I think God honors that. God allows us to come close just as he did for the first time for his Israelites. But he also wanted them to take it seriously, and I think he would say the same thing to us. Take it seriously. I love you so much. There is so much more that I want to do in and through you. Take it seriously. I think that the Israelites understood this a little bit better than we did, because they saw some of the direct consequences when they weren't serious. When we gather here in worship, or perhaps you have other points in your life where you're in kind of that worship space or that worship attitude, it's in these times and places when we're most often aware of God's presence. Or maybe we're more able to listen to his voice and feel his transformative power. And in this way, when you come and draw close to God, it is such a privilege. Most other little g gods and all the stories about little g gods are about gods that are far and distant and want to hold you at arm's length. And you could never get close. But that's not the living God that I serve. That's not the living God that you have come to believe in, for many of you. If you are struggling to hear or feel God, I heard this phrase a bunch of times this week in different contexts, people doing a little soul searching. But if you're struggling to hear or feel God's presence in your life, maybe that's what you need as well. A little soul searching. How am I approaching God? Am I resistant right now, or am I too cavalier? Am I stubbornly holding on to sin that is hardening my heart? Or are my attitudes helping me or hindering me from approaching God? There could be a whole list. Maybe your questions are a little bit different. Those are just a couple examples. You can probably think of ones yourself. But these are the kinds of questions that you need to ask sometimes, and they're just between you and God. I can't ask them for you. No one else can ask them for you, and no one but God can answer them and the truth that he speaks into your heart. When we're feeling far, holy awe is a good place to start. As the Israelites drew near to the presence of God on the mountain, it says that they trembled. They were afraid. Moses was afraid. They weren't sure what all was going to happen. Let me read a few more verses in chapter 19. Verse 16, it says, on the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. This was not like a joyful camp experience. This was a terrifying moment for them because they weren't sure what all was happening in this moment. It says, Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. We know something about that here. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. We know something about that as well. As the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. For the Israelites, even with all the preparation that they had done, even working on the proper attitudes that they would approach the Lord with, they still needed help to bridge the giant gap to God. Now, in their case, we know Moses played a key role. Moses was the mediator between the people and God. He was the one who both spoke for the people and also delivered God's message to the people. They needed that buffer between them and the direct presence of God. And through Moses, God laid out all of the details about how they were going to continue to approach him and worship, and all of the laws and experiences and instructions and how they would sacrifice. And you can read all of the Old Testament law. It's super detailed. I know some of you have talked to me about it before, that it's detailed and sometimes boring and repetitive. But God had to spell it all out for them. Like sometimes you have to be very deliberate when you're teaching someone young and giving them, these are the boundaries that I'm setting, and this is why. What God was doing, and yet what the people couldn't realize at the time, was that he was preparing them to not just be a bunch of individuals, but to be a people. And preparing them for what was to come centuries later when God finally sent a Savior. Now, for you and me, thankfully, we have more than just Exodus and a few other books that describe the law. We have some idea of what this means for us today and how we actually can come to approach God. Hebrews chapter 12, and there's other places as well, but specifically in chapter 12, it gives us some ideas of what this means for us. I want to read some verses from this chapter, starting in verse 18. You have not come to a physical mountain, or you all, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. And this was the one who was supposed to lead them. Verse 22. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven and have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance, like the blood of Abel. I'll stop there for a second. You have come to Jesus, who drew near to humanity to bridge that gap between us and God and experience his unconditional love and salvation. Jesus, the final mediator, the perfect sacrifice, and through his blood, he makes you clean and forgiven and free so that you are able to draw near to the Most High and holy God. In the midst of everything that's going on in the world, never forget that. Never forget amid all the distractions and the people that will try to trip you up and get you off course and push your buttons. Never forget. Through his blood, you are made clean and forgiven and free. In the last few verses of chapter 12, that's the good news, Hebrews also gives us a careful reminder. Verse 25, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Like Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Your version, your translation of the Bible might say an all-consuming. As you listen to Christ, his holy presence will continue to shape you and guide you, my friends. Sometimes he will refine you. Sometimes it's patiently and slowly, and sometimes it's painfully. So remember today that as you draw near to him, you are being made holy by the God who loves you so much. The God who graciously forgives you and welcomes you into his presence. Because of this grace, come to God with humility and gratitude. Offer him all of your worship and praise and trust and thanks. He will never let you down, even if everything in the world is letting you down. This morning, were you expecting or hoping to meet the Lord? Wherever you are, or however you would answer that question, if you're far away right now, or even if you feel close, I encourage you today to keep on drawing near to the Lord. Don't give up, especially in the face of everything that might be coming against you. It's the same type of advice that I would give for those of you that have been praying for things that you keep writing on your connection cards. Keep praying. Don't give up. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Praying for someone right now who's far from God. And my encouragement for all of you is to continue to lean and rely on Jesus, the one who is your unshakable help and hope in this life. As you draw near to him, my prayer is that you would experience the fullness of his joy and peace and love in your life. And I pray that for this person as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. You know the depths of our hearts. And I pray that as you pull us to yourself, that you would continue to make us holy. That you would help us keep our eyes upon Jesus. That we would continue to see that we need you, O Lord. I pray for people in this room. I pray for people that I know you are praying for as well. God, will your Spirit touch them today, whether they are in this room or far away. Thank you, God. We love you. We have holy awe for you. It is in Jesus' name, church city. I want to close with a couple of verses from 1 Peter as a reminder. 1 Peter 2 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Remember the words of your Lord Jesus Christ, who says, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.'" Church, I pray that you have a wonderful week. Go now with God's blessing and in his peace. Amen and amen.